This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. 27th day of March. It is a big day in many, many ways. It's opening day, of course, right? Sweet 16 gets underway today for teams that have made it that far.
Not Kentucky. They're tomorrow.
They play tomorrow. They did make it that far, but they play tomorrow evening. And, of course, it is my wedding anniversary, so I don't know if my lovely wife is awake this morning or not, but happy
anniversary.
32nd anniversary of being married to me and putting up with me every day, honey. Thank you for that.
Wow, you must have been really, really, really young when you got married.
Thank you for saying that, since you joke about covered wagons all the time.
I do. Did they allow marriage at that point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could be 14 and get married back then. I'm just kidding. No. I was a little older than that. But yeah, today's our wedding anniversary, which is one of the many reasons I'm not attending opening day today.
What are you guys doing to celebrate?
We're just going to go out to dinner. I mean, it is a weeknight, so that's a little more of a problem. But we'll go out and grab some food a little later tonight.
Nice.
Celebrate.
What are your go-to spots in St. Louis? I know you like Twisted Tree.
Love Twisted Tree. Love Manny Thai out in Manchester.
That's one of my wife's
favorite Thai restaurants to go to.
I love Thai food. I'll have to try that.
Mm-hmm. Delicious. Used to go to the King and I all the time. Haven't been there in a while. Used to be down off King's Highway somewhere. Am I right about that?
I thought the King and somewhere I was off. Was on the in the Central West End.
It might have moved. I think I did hear that it moved. I don't know, but it's been a while since I've been down there. But those are a few of them. Twisted Tree, way up there somewhere, for sure. Annie Guns, way up there.
I knew Annie Guns was a big one for you, but Manny Thai, I'll have to put that on my list.
I mean, other than the fact that you have to take out a personal loan to eat at some of those restaurants these days.
You know what? No,
they're delicious.
The steak and the potatoes at Twisted Tree, it is potentially worth
it. Here we have gravitated back to food again this morning. By the way, I got an answer in the break to the grocery store I was thinking about. There is a grocery store that is only in the southeastern part of the country called Ingles. Ingles. And for many years, they had triple coupons. The last reference I could find to the triple coupons was 2007. So I get the impression they have since discontinued that. That must have been a little bit of a loss leader for them or something. I don't know. But if you had a coupon for a can of corn, it was 20 cents off, they would triple it. I mean, it was... seemed unbelievable to us at the time, but that's where we all shopped because Ingles would give you triple coupons back in the day.
Nice.
So there you have it. All right, coming up, I mentioned we're going to get to Tanya J. Powers in the next segment over the president's EO, his executive order on citizenship and voting. And I'll let her explain how that's supposed to work. I don't know if it requires further congressional action to really implement it or not, but we'll see what the president can get accomplished with that EO. We'll get Tom Ackerman in here at the bottom of the hour because obviously it is opening day, and we do have a whole lot to talk about with all of that. Carl Middleman, right now let's get to some of our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Are you still is this person still employed who said they were going to nail one of my veterans? Who you had to do a $5 million award jury because of defamation, and then you settled the case. Answer my question.
Respectfully, sir, I'm asking the questions here, and I have...
Caitlin Collins would not leave Doug Collins alone, the Veterans Secretary, and so he just fired back on her. He's like, don't ask me about Signal. I had nothing to do with that. I want to talk about veterans. And she just kept badgering him, and he'd finally had enough.
First of all, I do want to say that NPR acknowledges that we were mistaken in failing to cover the Hunter Biden laptop story more aggressively and sooner. Our current editorial leadership.
Ooh, you think so? Catherine Maher there. M-A-H-E-R is how her last name is spelled. The NPR CEO acknowledging they probably should have paid attention to the Hunter Biden laptop, but because there were 87 Democrats and no Republicans in the newsroom, they ignored it.
Your fellow Americans just elected Donald Trump as president again this past November. You called him a deranged racist and sociopath.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was actually running this hearing yesterday where these NPR people and PBS people were sitting there, and she let go with both cannons. A bunch of congresspeople were firing on these people and asking them uncomfortable questions that they really either didn't want to answer or claim they didn't know the answer to.
It's a shame, really. I mean, seeing corporations and businesses that have aligned with our community for years, really disheartening, but it won't stop us.
Yep, that's the Pride Fest story there that Kim was talking about at the top of the hour. We talked about this earlier in the week, that mm-hmm. Anheuser-Busch was one of the companies that had decided to withdraw its, what, $150,000?
Well,
is that what they had been donating?
Here's what's weird. So I'm sure they were donating a lot, and they'd been partnering with Pride Fest for 30 years. This is a big loss for them. But so, yeah, I'm not sure if it was AB's $150,000 that they were contributing or if they already had that loss and then this is on top of it. I just know that Pride St. Louis has come out and said that we have $150,000 less this year compared to last.
Hmm. So now, of course, they're going to the media with this, which mm-hmm. is, of course, going to be as friendly as possible since they always cover the parade downtown and all of that.
Yep.
Begging for dollars. They're now outside begging for dollars. I did read an interesting story that, you know, we've talked about wokeness across America kind of on the decline with some of these big companies canceling DEI programs. And basically what it comes down to in many cases is they now believe that they can have the intestinal fortitude to say no, right? To say no to some of these issues where they felt political pressure to be donating. The point of my story here is that Anheuser-Busch is not just doing this in St. Louis. This is happening across the country. Pride Fest organizations in other big cities across the country are seeing the same decline in support mm-hmm. because suddenly you're not being blackmailed, or you don't feel like you're going to be blackmailed into supporting a cause that probably only impacts a very tiny percentage of your customers. Something Anheuser-Busch has blatantly failed to recognize in the past, and Dylan Mulvaney is the greatest example of that.
Well, and these companies are also realizing that in many ways, the more they get involved with these social justice type issues and organizations and events, the more it can hurt them. They're better off going right down the middle of the road. Stop yeah. going on these, you know, dramatic campaigns to side with one group, and then that backfires. So then you swing the pendulum the other way, and that backfires. Yeah. It's just back and forth we go.
Just stay the hell out of it. But that SEI score, I think, is what you brought up the other day. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what they care about.
So that's what these big corporate boards have been concerned about before, out of fear that somehow they'll be boycotted if they don't have a high enough score of wokeness. And it's a new day in America, baby. You don't have to worry about that stuff as much these days. At least it appears that way anyway. They'll get plenty of support. There's already fundraising efforts underway locally. I saw where Steve of Steve's Hot Dogs is giving half of mm-hmm. half the cost. Not at the ballpark. He was very specific about that because ballpark dogs cost a lot, and they're not giving up half of that. But for other dogs that you buy at Steve's Hot Dogs, they're giving half the money to Pride Fest. Apparently, I'm sure other local businesses may do the same thing. All right, coming up, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio, on the president's order that you need to be a citizen if you're going to vote. Seems like common sense, somehow controversial. We'll be right back. So you remember last year there was some legislation that was on the ballot in Missouri, and one of the issues there was the fact that you required that you had to be a citizen to vote in Missouri elections. And somebody said, well, that's already the law. Why are you adding that to the ballot? They called it ballot candy. And really, I think the impetus for it was that in some states, San Francisco, California, and other states like that, they had passed local ordinances where they would allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. And the state of Missouri has now done something to prevent that from happening. The president, of course, signed an executive order this week that was aimed at making you need proof of citizenship. And we've got Tanya J. Powers of Fox News Radio is covering that story this morning. Tanya, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Great to have you on again. To explain this to me, is this proof of citizenship to vote or proof of citizenship in order to register to vote?
Register.
Okay.
There are a few things in this. Obviously, that one's the big one getting headlines, and we're going to go into that in a second. But there's also a couple of things that are a little further down that are not getting as much attention, and I want to point those out, too. As you mentioned, the order calls for the federal voter registration form to be amended. So prospective voters have to provide documents that prove their citizenship, a U.S. passport, birth certificate, that kind of thing. It also says, this is one of those things that it may get lost in the headlines, that states should turn over their voter lists and their records of voter list maintenance to the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Government Efficiency to be reviewed.
Hmm.
Mail ballots would need to be received by Election Day, not postmarked and then received in a certain period of time after Election Day. That is the case in 18 states in Puerto Rico now. They accept mailed ballots received after Election Day as long as they're postmarked on or before that date. And it's generally, there's a window of time where they can be, you know, gathered and received. That is, like I said, 18 states in Puerto Rico have that. Ballots could not rely on QR codes to be counted. That's another thing in this executive order. The other thing is, it cracks down on foreign nationals contributing or donating in U.S. elections. That is something that's also in there that may or may not getting as many headlines. Can he do this through executive order? That's the big question.
Yeah.
There are already legal challenges that are, you know, that was kind of a no-brainer to think that anybody was going to challenge this at the court. Everything gets challenged in court, basically. So this is one of those that will. The federal government actually has a limited role in American elections. The Constitution gives states the authority to determine how their elections are run, time, place, and manner. The ballot counting procedures, you know, specifics on voting, those things are left to the states as well. Congress does have the power to make or alter election regulations, at least for federal offices. But the Constitution does not mention any role for the president or the executive branch in regulating elections. So that's, again, another reason that we're expecting a lot of court challenges with this. The other thing I want to point out that may get lost in the headlines is the order. It instructs a bipartisan independent agency called the Election Assistance Commission to amend its federal voter registration form and its guidelines for voting systems. It says the commission should then rescind certification of voting equipment that does not meet President Trump's chosen standards.
Hmm.
That's another piece, like I said, that may get lost in these headlines because they are pretty sensational headlines. Redoing how we do elections. We've never seen like a blanket executive order from a president before that would attempt to do that. But that's one of the two things that I wanted to point out that could get lost.
You mentioned something about a QR code. What were you talking about with that?
Yeah, apparently, and I hadn't even really thought of this. It instructs the Election Assistance Commission I was just talking about it says it would protect election integrity. That would include that voting systems should not rely on ballots that use barcodes or QR codes in the vote counting process.
Hmm.
Apparently, there are some that do use this, but it's not, you know, clear exactly how that would be done.
Yeah.
Apparently, in Georgia, apparently all in-person voters use voting machines with a large touchscreen to record their votes. The machines then print a paper ballot with a summary of the voters' selections and a QR code.
Oh.
You know, it's a barcode that would be read by a scanner in order to count the votes. That's in Georgia. I don't know if any other states do that or not, but that's kind of what that's aimed at.
Yeah, Missouri did
when we had the touch screens for a while, it would print out on a piece of paper what your choices were, and then it would assemble one of those codes at the bottom of it. I remember seeing it. We don't do that anymore, so I'm assuming that wouldn't affect what we're doing here in the state of Missouri. So again, when is this supposed to take effect, Tanya? Is it like immediate?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about when it's supposed to take effect. Like I said, it's kind of a moot point at this point, but because you know that it's going to go to court and you know that there's a judge that's going to block this while it's looked at and reviewed and everything like that. Just because it's an executive order doesn't hold the power of law. So, all right. And Congress is the ones that's who can fix or change elections. You know, in our country, that is the way that it's set up, you know, by the Constitution. So it should be interesting to see the legal fight on this.
Well,
one.
Good to hear more details on it. Tanya J. Powers, thank you.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Yeah, that's some interesting stuff in there. Some of it seems like common sense, but we'll see what the impact of his executive order might be. All right, coming up, we're going to grab Tom Ackerman before he heads out the door to start his day of Cardinals coverage. Right after we get to this break, we'll be right back. Great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right. Happy national holiday of opening day for you out there. All of us are decked out in our Cardinal gear. Tom Ackerman walks in, classes the place up in a sports jacket with his little Cardinal pin on the lapel.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is a Cardinal pin that I got on opening day in 22. I just think it looks cool. You can't tell that it says 2022 on it. but that was our last great year. That was the last playoff year. That was the year that Albert came back and joined the team. And it was a very, very special time. It's my belief, maybe can we get Governor Mike Kehoe, maybe any of our politicians to work on this? I believe that schools should be off on opening day. I think that businesses should consider closing for a certain number of hours, maybe restricting their hours on opening day in St. Louis. I'm being serious. I think that it's a special day that we celebrate as a region, and I think it's kind of fun to think about. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but... You know, don't other cities have big all-day celebrations?
I think you're right.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of people are conveniently out sick today.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, just give everybody, give everybody an excuse. Just one day.
Sick day of the year here.
But it's cool. And the day after the Super Bowl.
It's cool because you get a lot of people downtown today experiencing downtown, and you get a lot of people who will be down here that actually... you just come down for the festivities, may not stay for the entire game, just want to be down here in the morning. So we provide all of that, too. As a company, Odyssey St. Louis, we're going to have a lot of fun parties down there today. So should be a good time. I think it's going to be a special day. You know, I said this to you guys before, and I'll say it again. I think no matter what the team looks like at the start of the year or what you think they're going to be at the end of the year, opening day stands on its own always. It's you know, a look back at the history. It's a reminder of why we love the game, why we all became Cardinals fans in the first place. You think about family members that you'd love to continue to be here and experience it with you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, a lot of emotions on opening day. So it's really, really special. I look forward to today very much. And when the day is over, I, you know, sit down at home and, you know, just reflect on everything that happened.
Well, it's great because, you know, we can look at the Blues and we can realize that even for teams where at the beginning of the season, there weren't great expectations. Look what they've done here on this win streak that's going on. And as of today, everybody's tied for first. It's great.
It is. And it's a day that ties all of us together.
No, the Cubs are down by two already.
That is true.
So, how are we looking against the Twins? I mean, I know that we're all – there's not been a game, but I mean – the Twins were what last season?
No, they're fine. I mean, this is all about the Cardinals' young lineup trying to figure out how to produce. I mean, if the Twins, to me, don't matter. I appreciate your question because, to me, all competition against the Cardinals will be tough. I mean, it's Major League Baseball, and no matter who they're playing, if they were playing the Marlins today, I think, you know, you got to be on your game and ready to go. This is about this Cardinals lineup trying to string together hits. The best thing that could happen today from a performance standpoint, like if they lose this game, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But if they do, as much fun as the pregame is, if they lose opening day, it's freak out time. Everybody's like, here we go again.
We knew it would happen again.
But if they string together some hits today,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and if they come out flying and they steal bases and they get a big home run from somebody and they get some good pitching performances, but especially the offense. If the offense comes out and hits today and gives a good feeling to the crowd, it's a lift. And I think that's the thing to watch today is how does Ollie put this lineup together? I think it'll be similar to Monday where he had Newt Barr at the top, then Contreras and Donovan. Those are three big on-base guys who can hit for contact and are good players. Arenado, four. He hit a home run on Monday in the cleanup spot. Then he'll have Burleson, five, most likely, who's going to be the DH over Gorman to start the year. Then he had Herrera, six, which I kind of like. Pajes is the better catcher, but Herrera's much better hitter. And Herrera, six, I think Herrera's going to end up being your cleanup hitter. I think he's that good of a hitter. And then you have Walker, who everyone's waiting to see when he's going to explode. Yeah. And then I love this 8-9 in the order that he had on Monday. He had Victor Scott, Mason Wynn. Those are two speedsters ahead of Newt Barr. So you basically have three leadoff guys in a row setting the table for, you know, Contreras and Donovan and Arenado. That's, in theory, what he's trying to do. Create some excitement, maybe a little bit of a nod to Whitey Ball, you know, and just have some speed on the bases, some excitement back into the building. Because the Cardinals, for a while there, were kind of a stand-around, wait-for-the-home-run sort of team. They need more athleticism, excitement, youth, and that's what they're trying to inject.
Yeah, I love it.
Hopefully that happens today in day one of 162.
And Sonny Gray's pitching, right?
Sonny's pitching, and he hasn't been very good, you know, in spring training.
Has he been sick?
He was sick, but mostly his fastball wasn't there. Mm. His fastball has got to hit around 94 for him to be effective. It's not there. It's like 89 or 90. That doesn't sound like a big drop, but it is.
Are you surprised he's pitching then for opening day?
No, he's because he's healthy, but he got off to sort of a late offseason. So that's what he's saying is that he just didn't have that ramp up to get his fastball back to where it used to be. So he knows he can't blow the fastball by anyone. So what you'll see him try to do today is throw his off speed, try to hit certain spots, you know, hit certain sides of the plate, catch people off balance. He is a great pitcher.
Which so, he can do, yeah.
You know, he's
yeah.
kind of like Wainwright used to do when his fastball wasn't there. He would just sort of make you guess what was coming and people couldn't hit it. So that's what Sonny will try to do today to throw the Twins off balance. He is a former Twin. He played for them a couple of years ago, was the Cy Young runner-up in the American League. He knows them. But it'll be interesting to see how he is coming out of the gate. Cardinals have a great bullpen. The strong part of this team is the bullpen. Without question, but their starters are going to have to get to it.
First pitch is what, 310?
315 for Sonny. Clydesdale's at 230. Gates are going to open early today around noon.
Right.
Just to get everyone in the building, good 2.5 hours before the Clydesdales. And then, of course, you know about the Hall of Famers coming around in the Mustangs, the players coming around in the F-150s. It's very special. We like to play the game, who will get the loudest ovation? It's usually McGee. I think Willie will get the loudest, but I think Nolan Arenado is going to get a big ovation today. I think he's going to get a big, big roar from the crowd. Little nod saying, hey, welcome back, buddy. You know, like the fans will say, we're still here for you.
Yeah.
So I would think they'd be kind of irritated that, I mean, they understand, but kind of like, they're gonna leave us.
No, he didn't. They're irritated with the front office.
Things could be worse. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Than having Nolan Arenado in your lineup, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, hey, right. Good luck today. You got a long day, my friend.
It's not too bad. I'm kind of done. Yeah, I'm done around 11 or 12, and then I just go in and enjoy just like
what's the game.
You have to go between, if you're a hockey fan, obviously they have a big game tonight with the Predators. Yeah.
That game will be over.
But then you have the Cardinals.
We got the
and
Sweet 16 tonight.
Going
I'm just
going
to, I'll be like two or three cocktails
zombie?
Deep at
yeah,
home
really.
Watching that.
I love
Let's
it.
Let's get Tom on the radio tomorrow
What's
morning,
that going to be, Tom? Is that going to be a beer? What's your preference when you're watching a basketball
I'll probably sip a little. Probably sip a little Woodford tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
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 Double oaked?
No, just regular.
You should try that double oaked.
I love double oaked, but that's not what I have at the moment.
Okay.
This is gibberish to me.
it's all gibberish.
It's
all right,
very
I'm going to go do a sports cast.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks.
See you, Tom.
Tom Ackerman there with more on the Cardinals.
Go Cards. Go Blues. Go whatever team you want to win in the Sweet 16 tonight.
I haven't even paid attention to who's playing tonight in the Sweet 16.
He only cares
I mean,
about
I know the
tomorrow.
Teams that are in it, but
well,
I'm only worried about tomorrow.
Kentucky.
I got my buddies have invited me to play poker with them tomorrow night, and I committed to it. And then they announced that the Kentucky game is at 6 o'clock, and I'm like,
I'm the kind of guy
that needs to be in front of the TV when my team is playing, not distracted by should I raise the bid or pay attention to my cards. I'm concerned about this, so I've told them that I might bail on them.
Maryland,
so.
Florida.
Yeah.
Duke and Arizona, BYU, Alabama, Arkansas, Texas Tech.
Who wins, a turtle or a gator?
Yeah, Terrapins. We'll see. Hopefully Florida. I'm rooting for the SEC no matter what.
My bracket's already donezo, so.
And my wife still copied your bracket.
You know what? Michael's like, you forgot to fill one of them out. Like the UCLA game in the very beginning. Totally forgot.
Oddly, I'm way behind in both of my brackets that I turned in. And I say oddly because all of my Final Four teams are still in it. So
nice.
I'll gain points moving forward if the teams I picked continue to win. But I missed some of the early upsets, and we'll see. I guess you gain extra points as you move along. So I might make a stunning comeback here potentially if there are no major upsets this week. We shall see. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We got in other news for you coming up. Next hour, former Senator Jim Talent, anxious to get his take on the whole Signal controversy. You know, he was once a candidate for Secretary of State, so I'm anxious to hear what he thinks. So we're going to talk to Missouri Senator Ben Brown, who's reintroduced a self-defense bill that is gaining ground in the Senate. We'll get to him at 7:35.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It is opening day. I was going to go over the pregame schedule for you. I know Kim has been doing this as well. If you're headed downtown, the stadium's going to open at noon, and Cardinal batting practice is going to start at 12:05. Twins batting practice starts at 1. The pregame ceremony that you want to be in your seat for, 2:30. So make sure you're down there before there. 3:04 is the national anthem, 3:15 first pitch. But the real big news is, you know, before games, usually you can go up to the Bud Terrace and you get $5 beers.
Oh, yeah.
All day today, $5 beers.
All day?
All day.
Wow.
Now, I've seen it say it was at the Bud Terrace, and I've also seen it say at Crown Bar. So take it with a grain of salt, but it was on MLB.
Inside the stadium.
Literally.
There are $5 beers inside. We $9? Should have been leading with that all morning long in the
Sorry,
newscast.
Art, I didn't realize that was the headline.
See,
that's not
said,
top of mind for me
right
now.
If they said $5 dogs, Sue Thomas would be all over that. I mean, it's impossible to get things that cheap in the stadium.
Yep. Well, what are they normally? Like $9, $10?
Yeah,
well,
easily.
At least.
Technically, they're two beers because you get
size. Yada,
but it's
yada,
probably
yada.
Just the draft ones. I'm
yeah,
saying.
Probably
it's not going to be the giant
size.
2x4.
So you're getting 10 ounces for $5.
You tell Sue Thomas she can get kosher dogs for $5. She's going to be over there today, right,
Oh,
Sue?
My gosh.
Well,
a grilled onion, a little mustard.
So good.
Sue, apparently they have $5 hot dogs every Friday game.
Oh,
do
so if you
really?
Go on
Thank
Friday
you
games.
For this.
Why are hot dogs better at the ballpark? What's up with that? There's just
they,
like,
I think
totally
they griddle.
Don't change the
smell, the atmosphere. They never clean the grill.
It's dirty,
I mean, it's
from
just
last
different.
Season. They just cook it in that same grease.
I'm just kidding.
Whatever works,
man,
I guess.
It's good.
A couple other specials they're going to have during night games. They're going to have $6 margaritas, and then during all day games, $6 Bloody Marys.
Well, when the team's not drawing you in, you need something else.
Yeah. Turn
cheap,
to booze.
Cheap booze prices might help. I'm thinking
it will bring me down there. Legendary crooner Johnny Mathis, he is 89. He's announced that he is retiring from live performance due to advanced aging and memory issues. His farewell show is scheduled for May 18th in Inglewood, New Jersey, following the three final concerts of his Voice of Romance tour.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
Kim?
I actually do know of Johnny
like
Mathis,
Johnny.
Believe it or not.
He was great.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no kidding. He's been a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever saw him. I've seen television appearances, but I've never seen him live.
Exciting news if you're a fan of the early 2000s sitcom Malcolm in the Middle. A 4-episode revival is in the works for Disney Plus, with all original cast members returning to
Ooh.
Their reprise roles.
Except
Eric Persullivan, who portrayed Dewey. He's retired from acting, so he will not be returning.
He quit when he was 14.
Did he really?
Yeah. He was in Malcolm in the Middle and then Christmas with the Cranks. And then he's like, I'm out.
Huh. So he avoided all of the addiction issues and
at 14,
abuse
he's like,
and everything else that happened in Hollywood.
And Jane Kaczmarek said, we know where he is. We know where he's going to school. And no, we're not going to tell you.
Wow.
Hollywood perfect. Would be good. Really hard, especially growing up in it from a young age.
Can you think of many stars that came walk out away. Of it unscathed? There aren't many.
No, look at like Lindsay Lohan. I just watched a movie with her, and I'm like, it makes me sad
she's
when
gonna
I think
be in
of
Freaky Friday. Too.
Amanda Bynes. There's a lot of these stars. I mean, it would be very hard.
Well, it's the truth. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Missouri Senator Ben Brown. He's introduced a new self-defense bill down there, and another bill that's gaining traction that might take the place of initiative petition reform. And I'll let him explain that. We're going to get him on here this morning about 7:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.